Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every 4 years, our church has a business meeting. Now, those of you who know me know that I don't like business meetings. They're called synods in the Moravian Church. And last time I was at a synod, it was 2010, and I was not only not happy to be there because I usually lose my religion by the time it's done, but I also had a letter in my hand, and it was a letter that has been causing me sleepless nights, because it was a letter that invited me to come to a place I had never heard of, and minister after being in one place 19 years. So I was at this Maryland church when I received a call, and pardon me for not pronouncing it correctly, because at that time I looked and said, Ephraim, where's that? And the more I heard about Ephraim, the more concerned I got, because I am a city girl. I love New York City. That's where I was born and raised. I come alive on the streets of Manhattan. And so as I'm looking at this letter, I'm thinking, I wonder about the wisdom of the powers that be that thought that this might be a good idea for me. And then I get to Synod, and I meet some of the people who are on the Western District Board, people I had never met before. It did not inspire confidence. And so I'm at this synod with this letter in hand that I cannot share with my synod delegate, who happens to be from my church in Maryland. And so I had to act as if everything was okay. But she also knew I couldn't stand business meetings. So she, when she saw that I was glum and cranky, she figured that was par for the course. The first day of Synod, the chaplain of Synod gets up to give a sermon. Now, I was very pleased about this particular preacher because I knew he was an excellent speaker. And I knew he would say something that I could take with me. And as he stood up, he started out by talking about expectations. And he had a very inspirational verse of scripture. I can't remember what it was at this point. And he interpreted it by saying, the way you get your expectations met are to lower them. And then you won't be disappointed. I was thinking about that when I was preparing today's sermon. And when I'm thinking that in a few weeks I will be at that synod again with very low expectations. And then I read the story about Pentecost. And if you read the few verses before, you know what preceded Pentecost? A business meeting. Really, I kid you not. Jesus has ascended. He tells the people to go to Jerusalem. They go to Jerusalem and they pray and they're together. And then it's like, what's next? What now? So as good church people do, when you don't know what to do, you get a meeting. Or you form a committee. That's even better. And so they had a meeting. And in this meeting, they said, you know, we're down to 11 disciples. We have to up the number to 12. Because, you know, 12 is the number of perfection. There are 12 tribes of Israel. We have to have our 12 disciples. So they elected by lot a man named Matthias. And then you never hear about him again. Go figure. But fortunately, God took over. And on the day of Pentecost, which was a great festival of the Jewish religion, it was the day that they said that Moses was given the law by God, that God broke into history and gave the people of Israel direction and hope and promise. That was a day when there was a big festival in town. And as the people of God, after their business meeting, were sitting around, I don't know if they were praying, I'm not sure what they were doing, but God came in. And God came in with wind and fire and voices. And I think what's most important was not the flame that was over their heads, but the flame that became inside of them, a fire inside. And so they began to prophesy and to speak. And I love the incident of the first sermon. It didn't come with proper planning or preparation. It didn't come with good exegesis. It came because people got together and said, you know, these guys must be drunk. And Peter got up and said, no, we're not. And here's what's happening. And that was the first sermon. And it was so effective that thousands of people came to the church. And sometimes when we're up here talking about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, I know there are some sitting in the pew, because I feel this way sometimes. How can I talk about the fire when I can barely get up out of bed in the morning? How can I talk about the fire when I feel real cranky? How can I talk about the fire when I'm involved in church business meetings? But then I read this story, but more importantly, I see that the Spirit is alive and well today. And I see it in so many different ways. We've been talking over the last few weeks in Bible study about the history of our church. And this past Friday, we talked about the history of our own church. And I saw that in every decade, it seemed like the church reinvented itself for the times that were needed. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and living in the church. I think of our brothers and sisters in Milwaukee. They're now called Spirit of Peace Lutheran Church. And it was a small, struggling church, and they decided to get together with another small, struggling church so that they could meet their obligations and pay a minister and keep the place going. And that sounded like a great idea, except that when they sold the one building so that they could keep things going, the treasurer absconded with their funds. And they didn't have enough to hire a minister and to keep anything going. And it looked like the church was going to close. In fact, the powers that be in the Lutherans, you know, the Lutherans and Moravians are very alike when it comes to powers that be, kind of said, you know, maybe it's time to close. But the neighborhood came to them and said, we need you here. And so a fire was lit inside those people, and that small, struggling church said, we might not have a pastor, we might not have the funds, but we are, and they put this as their slogan, we are in the city for good, and we will stay here. And when I met them, they were small and struggling and didn't have any hope, and now they are thriving because they're in the city for good. And what I've learned about that is God will give the resources for God's work. If the people in the day of Pentecost had known what was ahead of them, they would have all taken off to their homes and hid for the duration. If they had known of the persecution, if they had known how people were going to react to their message, they would have never ventured out. But God gave that group the resources that they needed to do God's work. And it's the same in every age. God gives us the resources to do God's work in this age. And we might not have flames over our heads, but we have flames inside our bodies. And so I leave for 2 weeks, and I go to the synod. And my expectations might not be high for the business meeting, but I know that God's Spirit is alive and well. And I've even seen it at business meetings here at Ephraim. There are times somebody will throw out an idea that revitalizes us. And I think of the first business meeting I came to when I was trying to discern whether God wanted me here. And they said, you know, we'd love to have a service on the dock, on Anderson's dock, so that people who might not walk into this church can have some kind of inspiration in the summertime. And now we're on our fourth year of doing that. Someone mentioned at another business meeting, you know, in the wintertime, we're all locked up in our homes. Maybe we can do lunch once a month. And now there's two churches doing that, and people get together out of their homes, and they get to fellowship once a month and now twice a month. The Spirit is alive and well. There's a fire inside of us. And every time we think we can't do it, we don't have the resources, we have to remember this. God gives the resources for God's work. The Spirit is alive and well, active in this community. And if you are vacationing and going home and saying, oh, I wish I could take this with me, you know the Spirit is alive and well everywhere we go. And God will give us the resources to do God's work. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that in all our limitations, you give us spirit and fire and life to do your work. And Lord, until the day that we take our last breath, I ask that you would animate us from within to do your work, big or small. For we know that your Spirit is with us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.